Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome you to our education talk show. This is your humble host, Dr. Emmanuel Browder the Kid. As our culture, over here, we find solutions and we make recommendations to the Liberian education system. Tonight, we are going to be discussing a substandard education and national security threat to Liberia. Why or why not? And I want to tell you, that tonight's show is going to be thought-provocative, and we have invited one of our guests to come and help us really discuss this issue. But before we can start, we want to let you know that we had a statement that was made by Senator George Weah in Liberia about substandard education being a national security threat to Liberia. and we decided to discuss this statement lengthily. So we have invited our student guest in person of Mr. Eugene Facom, who's going to help us to fully understand, you know, why is it education is a national security problem. So wherever you are in radio land, in the United States of America, in Liberia, in different parts of the world, we want you to call in, we want you to send in your text and form part of this show. Education is everyone's problem. It is time that we Liberians, we come together and find a solution. At this time, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll bring in our studio guest. Stay tuned.
Five, four, three, two, one, zero. Let's start the party.
Our student guests, we want to just elaborate on a few things when it comes to education and why we take education so serious. You see, our schools in Liberia are failing, and their failure are undermining economic growth and competitiveness within our country. And this problem is causing a less growth for Liberia. So we have to see how we can design strategy, come to the table, design strategy, and solve this problem. Because education is becoming a predicament to our country. So tonight, is substandard education a national security problem? Is it a national security threat? Do you trust Senator George Weah statement? Or is it a mere political talk that he brought up to win votes from the citizens of Liberia? We want to find out tonight. So not to waste time, we would like to welcome our studio guest, Mr. Eugene Facon. You are live in studio.
Thank you very much, Dr. Dekay. Can you hear me loud and clear? Because I do have the speaker on, or if I'm coming in across not audible, I will switch over to my phone. Can you hear me loud and clear?
You are live, Mr. Facon.
Thank you very much once again. I want to thank you for the opportunity extended to me to be on this program tonight. As a Liberian politician, I want to also extend my thanks and appreciation to the people in Radio Land, in Limba, and around Liberia that are listening, and also to those that will be calling in to your studios tonight on this program. And I also want to say to everybody that we may be politicians, but some of us are educators, and some of us are loyal citizens, and some of us are social workers, some of us are nurses, doctors, philanthropists, academicians, theologians, what have you. But we come together tonight to make sense of what was said, and to use the platform or the opportunity to brainstorm on the way forward for our country. And so tonight, while it's true that I am a politician, a philosopher, a social worker, and one that has a degree also in general education, I think it's expedient that we find solutions to the problems as opposed to bigger and fight. So tonight I will be open to a discussion on the real issue, especially as it relates to education being a national security threat in the context of what George Weah said, which I believe is not what I share.
Oh, thank you so much, Mr. Faikong, for that wonderful explanation. Now, before we can go in detail into the statement from Senator George Weah, I want us to just look at some of the issues that we are facing. You see, education, substandard education is causing inequality in Liberia. Our country is divided. We're having class of disparity, different kind of people. The rich are getting richer, the poor are getting poorer. Our students, our children are the ones who are victimized from the actions of these people. We have people who are educators who are defending people who are not even capable because they want to hold on to this job. So, my question to you, why do you think substandard education is causing so much problem? Don't you think we can develop our education system? Why are we dividing our population?
Well, thank you. Dr. KK, I don't think that the issue is about division in terms of education, that we're dividing our education. You are alluded to the fact that we have substandard education, which means that we cannot compete in the 21st century in the areas of math, science, English, and so forth. With that said, you've alluded to the fact that our education is substandard. The president said that our educational system is a mess. George Weah plagiarized the statement, if you want to put it that way, and took the statement completely from the president's playbook. In his speech, he did not quote the president. Instead, he said exactly the same words. Our educational system is a mess. That's what he said. Now, to answer your question, your question was more or less to the tune of, don't you think we can improve our educational system? Your answer, we can. We can with good governance, good policies, and the will to do it. The will to do it is not sitting back in a little room and talking to people in Silicon Valley and trying to invest $65 million over a five-year period in what you term as a pilot project, when in fact you cannot invest $1 million in each of the 15 political subdivisions to build four libraries in each county. What am I saying? I'm saying if you give each county $1 million United States dollars and tell them to construct a library at the tune of $250,000, each county will have four libraries constructed. That's $15 million for 15 counties. If you take $15 million from $65 million that you want to invest over a period of 5 years with a bunch of kids sitting in Silicon Valley, okay, and kind of acting like they're professors, then I think it's only fair that you give your people $15 million to improve their reading and writing skills through a library program. I think that's only fair. You will still have $50 million to mess around with. Do we have the will to do that? No. How many libraries do we have in each county? Next to nothing. So, are we improving our educational sectors when we train our teachers adequately and pay them? We can barely pay a teacher $500 United States dollars a month, but we can pay a senator $15,000 a month. Yet instead, we're willing to get a bunch of kids in Silicon Valley. Hold on. We're willing to get a bunch of kids in Silicon Valley $65 million. So to answer your question, our educational system is a mess, like George Weah said. I would agree with the president and George Weah. However, it's substandard. Do we have the will? Do we have the resources to do so? I say we have the resources, but we don't have the will. And we can develop it, but we just don't want to because there are certain people that believe that the more you keep 85% of the population of a given country uneducated, the better it is for you to control them.
All right. Now, Mr. Faikong, now, before we can go in depth, we haven't even started to discuss the statement from Senator George Weah of Liberia. We just try to look at the problem from a broad spectrum. Now, another thing that really touched me is that when you look at the UC, the NGOs, the organization, international organizations, they have pumped in a lot of money in Liberia, to train our teachers, $800,000. I mean, they're sent to Liberia on a periodic basis so that teachers can be trained. But yet and still, we are not getting results. Because, you see, when donors spend their money, whenever you spend the money, you expect return. So what is happening to Liberia? Why are we not prioritizing education? Because the United States of America, these great countries, they are helping us. It's not that they are not helping us. Because if you look at our budget is less when it comes to education. So the culture also depends on extended aid, which, of course, you have UNICEF, you have USAID, and all these projects in Liberia, and they are helping. So why are we not succeeding? Is it people are investing this money for their own selfish gain? Or what is going on?
Well, you first of all have to understand that I am not a part of the government. But as a Liberian, you and I know that, not my statement, the president declared corruption public enemy number one. In her second term, she declared corruption a vampire. It tells you that from an enemy position to that of a vampire, which is obscure, if you want to put it that way. The real issue affecting our educational system, let's not dwell on the training aspect of it, is, again, the will of a handful of pseudo-bureaucrats. The will on the part of a handful of unpatriotic Liberians. The will on the part of a bunch of pseudo-political technocrats who have not seen a reason to put into place the right public policies affecting our educational sector. One of those people happens to be George Weah, took over as a senator. Let me say that. What has he done for the educational sector in his constituency? What has he done? Now, people will say, but he's only one senator. Well, if you want to be president in politics, we're taught to expect ourselves. So one of the things is, you stress the issue of, with all this money pumped into the system, is it corruption? What is happening? Why are we not getting results? First and foremost, corruption is a menace. It has reached its zenith. There is no doubt about that. However, the little bit of money that trickles down is not enough to provide adequate training to the teachers that you want out there in the fields, let alone enough compensation that their pay or their salary be commensurate with the job they do. You want people to get into the villages and teach our children, and you want to pay them at least $150 a month while a sitting senator or a minister walks away with $25,000 a month? How many people would you have going into the teaching field? However, who are the people going into the teaching field? The last time I checked, the people that sat the LU examination was 25,000 people. 25,000 people failed. The second time they attempted the LU examination, 15,000 students took the LU examination, 25 passed. So it tells you that our students are not being adequately prepared. So those students are the ones later in the future goes to become teachers. So if they don't have solid educational foundation from the very beginning, for which the failing rate is so high in the country, when they set these WIAC examinations and so forth and so on, what do you expect when they go to Teachers Training Institute? So the real issue in our country is well on the path of the officials of government to institute policies that will bring about reform in the educational sector. I don't want to sound political. But under the ALB plan, we have something set, and we will go through that if the question arises and the need presents itself.
Thank you so much, Mr. Facon. Education failure posts Liberia future economic prosperity, global positions, and physical safety at risk. After identifying those issues, it's now time to go in depth into Senator George Weah of Liberia's statement. That substandard education is a national security threat to Liberia. But let's take a break. When we come back, we'll begin from where we stop. Stay tuned, listeners. You can text us a question as well at 347-286-1716. Once again, the number is 347-286-1716. We will recognize your number and put you through. Now we are about to discuss the statement from the second largest political party in Liberia, the Congress of Democratic Change standard bearer. When he was giving his April 28th speech, he mentioned that substandard education is a national security threat to Liberia. Do you believe him? Why or why not? Now, Mr. Farcombe, do you think that if Liberia education system set up a task force that will be able to implement education expectations and assessment in subject vitals to protecting national security? Do you think that they could create that kind of avenue?
Well, I'm not sure if I'm understanding you right. Please repeat your question.
My question was, do you think the Liberia education system could set up a task force to implement education expectations that would yield assessment in subjects that would be vital to protecting national security?
Well, first of all, let's establish whether or not education is a threat to national security. Okay? Having said that, I'm sure you're saving the best for the last. So I'm going to leave that alone. When we get to the issue of our We Are statement, we will address that. But
now we have arrived at the issue of national security, Mr. Farcombe. We're now discussing We Are statement.
Okay. But, President, it's important. It's important for me to say this and go back to Weir's statement. I want to address your question. In every modern society where education is vital, as you and I know it to be educated people,
all right,
you have an assessment. Even the fact when you graduate from a university, after studying there for 4 years, you are asked to take an exit exam. Are you not?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So,
you have to.
What's the point in making me go to school for 5 years, 4 years, or 6 years, and when it's time for me to leave, you're satisfied that you've taught me enough, you still give me an exit exam. That exam is meant to assess us, okay? So
right.
You go to school, you do WIAT examination. The reason why you do so that to make sure that the West African Examination Council, WIAC, knows that your educational system is up to the level within the sub-region of West Africa. Okay? So, in every modern educational sector, it is important that you have a task force ready to use the tool of assessment to determine whether or not your educational system is up to par. It's important. Now, let us address George Weah's statement.
Do you believe him? Why or why not?
No. It's not whether or not I believe Mr. Weah. And I want you to give me 1 minute to enlighten you to something, to open your mind to something.
Perpetuate, sir.
I told you during Mr. Weah's speech, he borrowed a line from the playbook of the president. I told you that. Did I not? Okay.
You did.
Now, I told you not only did he borrow a line from the president's playbook when he said that education is a mess, just exactly as she said when she addressed the legislature, that tells you that Mr. Weah normally does not create his own speeches, write his own speeches, or somehow take things from his mind. This statement that George Weah made, I'm going to give you exact date and time, and you can Google it, all right? George Weah took this line from the Stanford News. I'm going to repeat myself. He took the line from the Stanford News. There was an article written in the Stanford Report on April 15, 2013, by one Brooke, Brooke Donald, okay? And it had to do with Condoleezza Rice, former Secretary of State of the United States, says that declining school pose a national security threat. Now, I didn't come here to tell you, Dr. Dekay, on this program, or that we are talking about. I'm giving you exact date, time, and I'm telling you where to find this information.
Sorry.
Entitled, Stanford's Right says that declining schools pose a national security threat. Now, let's contextualize that in the context of Liberia. I will give you specific quotes, okay? It starts off by saying, in a lecture hosted by the Stanford Center for Opportunity Policy in Education at the Graduate School of Education, Rice, a former Secretary of State, said education reform might be our greatest national security threat. And I will quote subsequent, but I want to be able to answer your question as you posed it to me. Now, when you apply situations in the Western world, in developed countries, to that of an underdeveloped country, a country that lacks all the basics of life, you make a sad mistake when you borrow from the lines of the likes of Condoleezza Rice to address a situation here in the United States, referring to institutions as failing schools. And I will expand on that further. But in Liberia,
are you saying Senator Weah didn't credit the source of his information?
No, this is not his own information. This is a line borrowed from this article, and I can go on and on and get the quote. In fact, on one occasion, she said, we can't afford to become a country of two populations. That's what she said. We cannot afford to become a country of two populations, just like you said. Further, she said, when you think about great cultures of the past, what are the first things that come to mind? The architects, the arts, and so forth. And so, to be fully human, you have to be able to develop both sides. And further to that, she said, I don't think people generally understand the implications of national well-being and national security that the education problem raises, unquote. So when you go to those kind of things and take lines from there and apply it to a situation in my country, without understanding where we're from, we're not a developed nation. We did not have an educational sector that was established. Therefore, we cannot conclude that it is failing. It was not existing in the first place. We were only trying all along. In a country where you got about almost 80% of the population.
Are you saying that Liberia doesn't have an education system?
It's one thing
never
to have
had an education system.
It's one thing to say you have an educational system, Dr. Dickey. It's quite another to make sure that the system works. You will agree with me on that. It's one thing to say.
So let's establish. Now, let's try to establish a discussion right there. Liberia does have an education system, but it's not effective. Do you agree with me?
Of course. It does not. You just said it. And so we cannot look at that system and say, oh, Liberia has an educational system that is failing. It doesn't work. If it doesn't work, it fails.
Now, let's get back to George Weah now. Senator George Weah of Liberia, his statement was rightly said. But I'm interested in his ability to shift the Liberian education system. Do you trust him?
Oh, no. Absolutely not. And here is why I say so. If Mr. Weah did not believe in education from the get-go and is using his and is saying that his parents were too poor to send him to school and therefore he could not afford school fees, well, here are the facts. George Weah was a good footballer. George Weah was given scholarship to Wellhausen High School. And if you could play football, you went to school free. So how did we miss out on this whole thing? How did journalists not pick up on it? So the fact that Mr. Weah himself ignored education in the very beginning of his youth and did not take advantage of his athletic skills to make education a priority, which was given to him free. Today we're facing the same problem, okay? And so George Weah, as an individual, did not prioritize education as a footballer. I will be wrong if I tell you that George Weah did not pay other people's school fees to go to school and that George Weah did not contribute to the educational sector. I would be wrong, and I would be unfair to Mr. Weah. However, since Mr. Weah became senator and now can take decisions and bring about bills in the legislature and formulate policies to impact the lives of the Liberian people in terms of education, he is still miserably. He has not...
Mr. Falcone, Senator George Weah is saying, Senator George Weah of Liberia, he's saying, if you elect me as a president, I'm going to shift your education system, give you a vital system that will be on par of the 21st century. Why you don't believe in him? This man is serving in the Senate. He's educated.
I just gave you a series of reasons. I just now, in about 2 minutes, gave you a series of reasons. And our people have a say. And thankfully, this program is a Liberian own. Our people say when they say the man here point, then you ask him for the BS. That's what we're doing right now.
So what does that mean, sir?
Mm-hmm. Hold on. At the end of the day, we're saying, do we trust Senator Weah? We made Senator Weah a senator. Senator Weah represents a provisional area in our country, which is a county. Look at the educational system in his county, under his watch, and then tell me if he cannot do something in a single county that he is a senior senator of. Are you suggesting to me that he will do it for the 15th political subdivision?
George Weah has a school in Liberia. He has a school in Monrovia called the George Weah Community School. I think it's somewhere in Claretown. It's educating Liberians. Don't you think it's effective?
Oh, no. We've seen that school on Facebook. I think it's one of the most dilapidated schools in the country. Understaffed, and it's a complete fiasco. Let me put it that way. And I'm not in any way trying to demean or defame or denigrate the brother in any way, shape, or form. Speaking to the issue, again, I put it to you. If George Weah cannot handle the educational sector in a single political subdivision, a provisional area such as Montserrat, are you suggesting to me that put the combined 15 political subdivisions together, he will be able to handle it? That's where, as critical thinkers, we come in. We say you have a county. You have the Monrovia Consolidated School System in your jurisdiction. Most of the schools are in dilapidated conditions. Education is almost non-existent, so to speak. We do not have quality education. We are talking about it right now on this program. And he's senator for Montserrat. It's not happening there. And it is the biggest school district in the whole country. It's not happening there. So how do you expect it to happen in the country, the entire country? It's our question as critical thinkers.
So are you saying that the statement that Senator George Weah made was politically motivated? It's just mere politics? He doesn't have the will to...
The statement George Weah made was a complete copyright, if you want to put it that way, from a stand-for report on Condoleezza Rice. Now, I am trying to make you understand something there, and I'm going to make a quote so that you understand. It goes on to say, but she said, quote, what happens to a student in a failing district does have larger implications for America's future. That is why it's a national security problem. Unquote. I'm quoting. She's giving you the reason why she said so. She said
what happens to a student in a failing district. Mr. Fakwa, let's hold you whatever for a second. And let's get back to our audience because we've got a lot of people that are following us tonight. And if you want to participate in this show, it is very simple. You can text your questions on Facebook, even to this number at 347-286-1716. I'm going to read the number very slowly again. The number is 347-286-1716. We want you to send your question. We are discussing today a substantive education, a national security problem to Liberia. We want us to send us your question. Tell us, what is your opinion? What do you think is the problem that we face? Because Liberia is losing it. We don't have an education system. Our children, they are diminishing. Where do we see Liberia in the next 10 years? Now, back to our studio guest, Mr. Fakon. Let's discuss why Joe Weah said this thing. Do you think he really mean it? Joe Weah is educated. He has a master's degree from the United States of America, the greatest country in the world. And now he's saying he wants to reform the education system in Liberia. Why you don't trust him?
The first part of your question said, why you think George Weah said so? Again, I will put you back to George Weah's playbook. Okay? Condoleezza said, "What happened?" And I quote, what happens to a student in a failing district does have larger implications for America's future. That you can replace America with Liberia's future. That is why it is a national security problem. So Condoleezza is alluding to the fact that whatever happens to a student in a failing district, I'm quoting this woman. So I'm looking at George Weah and where he borrowed this line from and this whole idea. So say to him, let's look at your district. Let's look at your county. Let's look at your constituency. Let's look into it. It has a Monrovia consolidated school system. You've been senator for over a year. What have you done to formulate policies that will impact the educational sector in your county? What have you put forward in terms of legislation that will change the dilemma that faces your educational sector in your district or in your county? So,
I don't mean to cut you off. I don't mean to cut you off. You see, I don't understand the whole. You see, I'm not a member of any political party in Liberia because my perception of political party, you know, is quite different. Because when I feel a political party should be an institution that will develop strategies, besides the ruling party, you should come up with new ideology that will support the country. But when I look at Liberia, most political parties, you know, all they want is just want power. You know, they come and use rhetoric to the people. So you see, Senator George Weah was saying that education is a national security issue. It is true. But my question is, does he have the willpower? You know, is he really saying that indeed he's going to transform the education system? Because I remember when a previous government was trying to seek power, they said the same old thing. And now see, Senator George Weah is saying the same thing. So where are we heading? Now, tell me, where are we going to go from here in the next 10 years? What do you want to tell George Weah? He's listening to you right now. as a senator?
What I want to say to George Mihalovich, the journey of 1,000 miles does not begin with 1,000 steps. It begins with 1 step. The journey of 1,000 miles does not begin with 1,000 steps. It begins with 1 step. And so when you tell us to open a bubble mentality of believing what you say as opposed to what you do, people like us have a problem with that. If you say you want to reform the educational sector, we're not waiting for you 2 years from now. We're asking you, what have you done? Because unlike your compatriots in other political parties, you have a leverage. You have a means. You're in the Senate. You have the Counter Development Fund at your disposal. You have the institution right under your nose, from the University of Liberia to that of the lead school, such as maybe Jimmy Jolokon or D.D.D. King, if it's still in existence, Morocco Demonstration School. They're right there before your eyes. What are you doing there? So if you want to take 1,000 miles, a journey of 1,000 miles, let me see your first step. So to come up and
tell me. Has Senator, we are in the views of Bill with regards to education since he became a senator?
No, never happened. Has he brought about a policy? Never happened. How many schools has he visited since he became senator? According to IRED report, he's the least performing senator in the House. So that's not me saying that. You can't hold me for that. For IRED. When people come up and make these glory day speeches that sound so good, as political scientists and modern political philosophers, we're looking at it like, okay, that sounds great. Because who doesn't like Putin? You tell me that you don't like something good. It sounds good, but is it workable? Is that something you will do? Have you done it before? Have you even attempted? Are you in a position to do something? Can you effect
now,
policy?
Before we take our break, Mr. Falcone, I want to ask you a simple question. Are you saying that Senator George Weah is not qualified to enhance the Liberian education system?
I think we're far from that. You can't say Mr. Weah is not qualified. And that's why I begin this program by saying that people do not have the will. The resources are there in terms of humans, in terms of financial resources. It's there. The will is not there.
All right.
Now,
let me ask the question in another form. Are you saying that Senator George Weah is not competent to enhance the Liberian education system when he becomes president?
I will not use the word competent. I will not use the word qualified. I will say to you that George Weah does not have the ability.
Okay,
so
now we're going to take
qualified.
We're going to stop over there. Mr. Eugene Falcone, he's declared a statement that Senator George Weah of Liberia doesn't have the ability, but it doesn't mean that he's not qualified or competent to enhance the Liberian education system. Wherever you are, if you're listening to us and you wish to participate in the show tonight, in different parts of the world, we want you to text us your questions or comments. So 347-286-1716. The number once again is 347-286-1716. At this moment, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to begin from where we stopped. Stay tuned. Well, we want to thank you for following us. That was a wonderful music, traditional music, and I know wherever you are, you're dancing on your feet, you know. But we're trying to talk about education, how significant it is to Liberia. And, you know, it brings a lot of tears from my eyes to see that our education is being so, system is being so depleted. And with all of the resources we have, I mean, human resources, we are not able to clean up our own mess. And we're trying to always blame people, outsiders, that they should always come in and clean up our education system. And this is something that we have to shape our paradigm about. So that we need to develop our system ourselves. We need to use our local resources, our human resources, train our teachers, and give them the necessary resources to be able to enhance the education system. Now, Mr. Falcon, if we could just move back from Senator George Weah's statement, if I could ask you, you are a member of the ALP, the All Liberian Party. All Liberian Party, yeah. And you are a very powerful personality in our party. If I could tell you, what would your party do in terms of education? What would you suggest to us tonight?
Thank you. I've been waiting for that question all night long. You know, it's not about the ALP. As you know, it's the All Liberian Party. So what I proffer to you tonight, it's what liberal partisans of the ALP see as a problem in our country. We see education as a serious problem, but we don't see it as a security threat, okay? Because you have a lot of different things. Now, what would my party do differently, the ALP? First and foremost, we need to reform our entire educational system. If you like for a better term, we need to overhaul the entire educational system. If you want, we can say you need to resuscitate, respire, whatever you want to coin to tell you that we have a dead educational system that we must either resurrect, completely overhaul, or reform at the best to describe it.
Mr. Falcon, can you take this question, please? Before you can continue, before you perpetuate, please take this question. It's from Facebook. It's coming from one Mr. Sam George. So he said, is Mr. Urich qualified to transform the education system because you are talking from a political point since you've been talking?
Again, in the same vein that I told you, I don't believe that George, when you asked me whether George Weah was qualified or not, I circumvented that question for a reason, because it's not the issue of being qualified or being competent. It's the issue of having the ability, being able to do it, being able, having the will. You can be qualified, but if you don't
will
have
you
the
address,
will to do it.
Will you address the question, please?
Of course. So when he asked me as to whether Mr. Urich is qualified, just like the Weah question, I think Mr. Urich is able to do it, because he has demonstrated that he's able to do it, unlike Mr. Weah, who has not demonstrated that he's able to do it. So there's a difference there. There's a difference. And so that's the answer to that question. I'm not talking about Mr. Urich's qualification or his competence. I'm talking about him being able to do it. Yes, he's able to do it, because he has demonstrated that he's able to build systems and make them work.
Now, Mr. Falcon, we want you to be ready because you know you are representing, you are representing for another political party. And you're discussing Senator Joshua will come from another political party. So there will be a series of questions that will come to you.
By your question asking me what will we do differently, I was about to address what the ALP will do differently. I only started off by telling you that we will overhaul the entire system. How we will do it, you did not give me the chance. But however, I'm open.
Okay, now, could you just explain briefly how will you guys overhaul the education system? You don't have to give a strategy, what strategy is expensive, but just give a summary.
All right. It's hard to summarize and compact everything in one, but I'll try. I will tell you this much. In a country where income disparity is huge, we intend to cut back on the salaries, just like the Tanzania leader did and other countries, Kigali, have done. Burundi, Rwanda, and other places. You can go there and see for yourself. We're going to cut back on the huge salary structure of representatives. That money can go back into the educational sector. Unlike this government that's going to spend $65 million on a group in Silicon Valley, we're going to invest that money in the educational sector. But here's how we're going to do it. The first thing we're going to do to revamp our educational sector is to make sure we invest in the infrastructure development, simply because we have a program coming up called the National Service Program. Under the National Service Program, you cannot tell me that a student that graduates from high school in Liberia cannot write ABC or cannot teach an ABC kindergarten kid or even a first grade kid how to read and write or how to write an ABC. You cannot tell me that. Under the National Service Program, we're going to have students that graduate from high school do 1 year of national service, either in the area of either going to the military or going to the health sector, or going to the educational sector to become teachers. If you're from Boeing, we're sending you down to Grand Chile. If you're from Maryland, expect to be in Kidman. We're going to do that. But to do that, we will have a local government structure in place replacing the Ministry of Internal Affairs so that local governments can be responsible for these programs. Once we get these people into place and they're teaching almost every child in the country, we will then invest into teacher training institutes. Where are we going to get the money from? I just told you. We're going to target waste, fraud, and abuse. We're going to make sure we cut salary structure to reflect and bridge the gap in income disparity. And the waste fraud, money from the waste, fraud, and abuse in our budget, in addition to the huge salary structure of government employees that should not have those kind of salaries, will go into the areas of education. Let me point to you a common sense phenomenon. I just told you, your government says they want to spend $65 million.
But I have to break you over there, but we have another question, sir. Mr. Falcon, I have to break you. We have another question.
Let me end on that, please. Give me 30 seconds. I am telling you I'm taking $15 million of that money and invest $1 million in each county of the 15 counties, $1 million. And I will divide the $1 million into four pieces, $250,000. And I will build four libraries in every county, four libraries with $15 million. And ask the local groups in America, the Nima County Association, the Bone County Association, the Grand Jira County Association, to stack those libraries with books.
All right. So you mind taking the question, please? This question is coming from one patient, Guzin. This is also from Facebook. It said, Mr. Falcon. Falcon have been in the same room with Mr. Ure. Have you been in the same room with Mr. Ure before? That's a librarian we are asking questions. Have you seen which educational speech did Urit give to make you believe he's qualified, or are you blind loyalist? One last thing, Labrua is not Burundi. How can you address a patient? Look at what she's saying. She's giving an explanation about comparing, not to compare Labrua with Burundi, and also the qualification of Mr. Urit.
Okay, and so I can remember all 10 of the questions. So if we go step by step, I'll take about 2 seconds to answer each one of them.
All right, the first one is, have you been in the same room with Mr. Benedict Urie before?
I think that is deeply personal, and I think why it is true it may sound offensive for a man like me to be in the same room with Urie, I will just let that fly by. Let's go to the second one.
You don't have to answer that question if you don't want to. Now, the second question, have you seen Mr. Benedict Urie?
I have seen Mr. Benedict Urie, whether it be on Facebook, on television, The question is too broad-based, but I have seen Mr. Uri.
You don't have to answer that too if you don't want to. Now, the next one is...
No,
which
educational... I have seen Mr. Uri. The answer is simple. I have seen Mr. Uri. Here.
Okay. You have seen Mr. Uri. Now, the next question. Which educational speech did Uri give to make you believe he's qualified?
Well, speech does not make someone qualify. It's their action that makes them qualify. Talk is free, and it's cheap, and that's why you have freedom of speech. So the fact that someone stands and just opens their mouth does not make them qualify. And I don't think Uri wants to play in that boat. Talking is not his game. Action is his game. Deeds are his game. So
are you saying that George Weah is qualified in Europe?
Well, if George Weah is doing the talking and we're seeing no action, the whole idea of qualification and competence does not matter. What matters is the Liberian people want to see substance. They want things to be delivered. And as such, it's not about talk. You and I are talking on this program. At the end of this program, what will we achieve? Talk is cheap. And Mr. Uri believes in actions and deeds, not talk.
So are you saying that Mr. Senator George Weah is qualified in Benina Uri, Mr. Uri? That was the
question. I think we've been down this road over and over with regards to people's qualifications. But I think it'll be a distant dream for anybody to think that a man who has to go to school because he wants to become president as opposed to going to school to learn in order to better society, then I think it's a joke. It's a joke.
Are you questioning Senator Weah educational level?
I'm not questioning his educational level. What I'm questioning is the fact is his intent. What was the intention behind him going to school? He went to school, he said it. He said, I had a bachelor. The people say I was not educated, so I have to go back to school. I don't have to go to school to become president. John Mayer of England did not have to go to school to become a prime minister of Great Britain. Leadership is not about education. You and I know that for a fact. We are educated people. So if
it's
one has
true.
To go
it's
to
true.
School just to become president, I think it's a joke.
Well, I cannot verify that information you're providing that Senator Weah went to school because he wanted to be educated. I know that he graduated from a university in America that is being credited by one of the regional boards in this country. And
I know that.
It's a credit institution. No, the issue here is, and I like that you raised, is Senator Weah ability to be able to transform our system. That's something that, you know, we would love to really address. Now, Mr. Facon, we want to take a break because we don't have much time in our favor anymore. And when we come back, we want you to give us your closing comments, you know, because it's very important that we inform the Liberian people of what George Weah said and why you're disagreeing with him so you can lay some premises so that we can be able to take home. But at this moment, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to begin from where we stopped. Stay focused.
Everybody line up, grab a partner, all to the moon.
Before we can close this show, we do have a question, but before we can ask you, we want you to just tell us about the statement that Senator George Weah made and what you could do as an All-Liberian Party differently from Senator George Weah. So give us a closing statement, and we want to give you the question that came in from Facebook.
Well, thank you, Dr. Dekay, and I think it is clear. We told people what we would do. We would overhaul the entire educational system of our country. But there was one thing I didn't stress, and I want to say this quickly. When I went to school, I took 21 subjects in school. I had to do for math, I had to do trigonometry, geometry, and algebra. For social studies, I had to do geographic, history, and civics. For English, I had to do English language, literature, vocabulary, and spelling. In some cases, reading. For, I had to do Christian doctrine. We had to do agriculture. We had ROTC. For science, we had chemistry, biology, and physics. And we had to learn crazy things, such as Mansa Kanka Musa, Sundeita Keita, Sumakuru, the Empire of Mali, Songhe, and Ghana. Those things had no significance to my country. Today, we come in the Western world. My daughter is in school. I'm there, and she's doing four subjects a semester. Let me tell you something. We want our children to be educated but not stupid. And at the end of the day, I'm saying this to say that we will revise our curriculum in our country. So that's so much so that people go to school from ABC to sixth grade. They are learning math and science, and mostly learning how to read and write. From sixth grade to ninth grade, they want to branch off in some area where they will at least have an idea of where they're headed. From ninth grade to 12th grade, if you're in the area of science, you're in the area of science. You can concentrate in the areas of science. So when you graduate from school and decide to become a medical doctor, there is no way in the world you will shy away in the first semester of your studies. So for me, I am a living witness to what happened to me. We are going to overhaul our entire educational system from the infrastructure straight to the curriculum that we use. We went to Ghana. I was in Ghana. I was in Nigeria. I was in Sierra Leone. I speak Creole very well. When we stand in front of those people and the guy tells you, I know math, he knows math. And that's the only thing he knows. While traveling throughout those countries, I came to understand one thing. When I asked them about my country, they knew nothing about my country. But when they asked me about the country, I could tell them who Kontanoche was. I could tell them who Otunfo Osei Tutu II was. But they could not tell me who William Bacanarach Shadrach Tubman was. So we're going to overhaul our educational system from the infrastructure straight to the curriculum. And we will produce.
Thank you so much, Mr. Falcon. Let's take this question from one Mohammed Kumar. You said, Mr. Falcon, you turned an independent show into a campaign rally for the All-Liberian Party. That's disappointing on your part. Besides Facebook, have you seen Mr. Yuri in person? You haven't seen him in person because Yuri haven't come to America since the 1990s. Now, do you want to address this question or you want to let it pass?
Of course. I mean, I'm a modern politician in contemporary times. So I don't run from questions. By the way, tell Mr. Kroma I am 47 years old. I was born April 1st, 1969, in Tubman, Bergoni County. I did not come to America until 2003. I am a Liberian. And so if that does not answer his question, and I think we're on the wrong show here tonight. I'm not one of the kids that just grew up in the backyard. I went to school in Tuckerberg, Bromley County, the St. Dominic's Catholic School. I literally built my own school before moving on to the University of Liberia, where I was a scholar. I traveled to many countries. I worked for the United Nations implementing arm called Course Canada. Two of the persons that work along with me, one of them was your former foreign minister, Jed Morbury Ama, and the other one is with the United Nations in Sudan, Michael Kemukai. Okay? I've been to Ghana. I've been to Nigeria. I've been to Togo, Benin, and all these places. So, at the end of the day, I'm not one of the kids from yesterday. And when your civil war started on December 24th, 1989, I was in Liberia. I came to the United States in 2003. So the whole the whole idea of turning and bringing this show into a political campaign is my articulation for the ALP scares you in any way. I'm sorry that you feel that way. But it's time for new innovation, new thinking, and new possibilities. And it's time for us to move our country forward in a positive way.
We want to thank you, Mr. Facon, for honoring our invitation. And also to our listeners out there who continuously following this education talk show. It's every Monday night at 9:30 Eastern Time. And also we have followers from Liberia. We also want to thank the Rachel Neva International, the Twazama family, for giving us an opportunity to have a one-hour talk show on the radio station. But also every one of you who supporting the show, our fans, our followers, those of you who love that are the kids, who follow our podcast, who follow our articles, our education articles, you know, even our books that are being sold on Amazon.com and different bookstores in different parts of the world. We just want to thank you and continually following us, because education is the means and it's the only way to save Liberia. Indeed. Education, substandard education, is a national security issue for Liberia. We want to thank you for tuning in tonight. God bless you.